Our first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Amos, the 7th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 7. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. But I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there and prophesy there. Never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is a temple of the kingdom. And Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman, a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the 1st chapter, and we begin reading at verse 13. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him, who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 14. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah, and others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. But she could not because Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" She said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry. But because of his oath and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. A text is based on your gospel lesson for today, where the head of John the Baptist is requested. And Herod, we read, and the king was exceedingly sorry because of his oaths and his guests did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king set an executioner with orders to bring John's head. This is our text. I wanted to look good for you this morning. So when I got out of bed, and I'm getting close to needing another haircut right now, when I first get out of bed at this stage in hair growth, kind of looks like Bozo the Clown a little bit. But I wanted to look good for you, so I combed my hair. A lot of Saturdays, which usually take most of the day off, not yesterday, but a lot of Saturdays I don't shave. It's kind of gross looking by Sunday morning. So when I got up today, I shaved because I wanted to look good for you. But, you know, during the course of my many years in the ministry now, there have been opportunities, times when that wasn't always possible. It doesn't happen very often, but occasionally I get called out on an early morning and have to rush to somebody's home or to a hospital. On very rare occasions, that happens on a Sunday. And a couple of times in the ministry, it didn't look so good here. And though I maybe had time to do this, because I'd been woken up so early, it kind of looked like this. And I didn't look good for you. Now, how many think that if I couldn't get shaved, my hair wasn't quite right, we should cancel services? I see no hands going up. That is a right and correct decision on your part and on my part. But you know, sometimes wanting to look good, wanting to impress others, leads people to do things that are unbelievable. For instance, think back, and most of you can think back this far, a few of you can't, the mid-70s. A little bit after a president by the name of Richard Nixon was reelected overwhelmingly. At the time, one of the most popular presidents ever in the United States. But some of his underlings did something wrong. They broke into a place called Watergate. Not a big crime. But it literally brought down the president of the United States. Not because he had committed a crime in breaking into some place, but in his desire to look good, he tried to cover it up. And if history serves me well, he's the only president ever to have to resign from office. We see the same thing going on in our gospel lesson for today. King Herod, not a person of real noble character, but seemingly from the way our gospel lesson presents it, knowing enough about good and evil to know that John the Baptist was a righteous man who had done nothing to deserve death, but to speak truth to power. And then, in response to the dancing of his stepdaughter, he makes a promise that was foolish. And when the head of John the Baptist is requested, though he doesn't want to do it, though he knows it's wrong, he's willing to murder so that he doesn't look bad. Human pride, it can be a terrible thing. What are the areas in life where you like to look good? And for the sake of not being embarrassed, not allowing someone to see your weakness or to discover your sins, you'd be willing to do almost anything, willing to risk almost anything. We'd like to think that we are above that kind of thing. But often in my own life and in observing others through the course of the ministry, that pride raises its ugly head. And for the sake of not being discovered to being not quite the person everybody thought we were, we're willing to do that which God would tell us not to do. It happens in all kinds of areas of life. I remember a number of years ago, a member of our congregation, now sainted, a grandmother, a wonderful grandmother, brought to my office for a visit. She was not in the greatest of health, but that was not her real problem that day. The problem was because of her declining health. She couldn't do all the things that she used to do. Used to love to cook up a storm. Now her husband had to make most of the meals. Used to like to get down and play with the grandkids. She did that now, somebody'd have to help her get back up. And to put it bluntly, she wanted to die. Because she couldn't do all the things she used to be able to do. I asked her that day, "Do your grandchildren love you?" And she said, "Oh my, yes they do. They come and visit me every day. They love to sit and talk with me. But I can't do the things for them that I used to do." But the more we explored life together, what she finally discovered was that her inability to do the things she used to do wasn't the important part of her life, at least in relationship to her husband who dearly loved her, to her children who dearly loved her, to her grandchildren who dearly loved her. For them, it was just important that she be there. For them, that was all that mattered. She finally came to understand that. That what was important was not her ability to do all the things that she used to do, all the things that she used to be able to take pride in doing and saying, "Look what I've done." But just to be there, to love her family, and allow them the opportunity to show their love back. God gave her 2 more years to live, to be with her family. But at least at that point in life, 2 years earlier, pride had taken hold, driving her to think that she didn't matter anymore, when everyone in her family prized her greatly. We are saved by grace, not by works. How many of you know that statement? Raise your hands. Everybody. As we Lutherans love to ask, what does that mean? It means our pride is not in that which we do. It means that our pride and our joy and our glory is in what God does for us and in us and through us. And according to God, there is nothing you can do to rob you of that pride and that joy. And we forget that at times, more often than we probably like to admit. It may be when life is changing because of our aging or our health. Or it may have to do with the things we do to cover up our mistakes and our sins. We don't like to lie, but sometimes we will because, well, this is one thing I don't want people to discover. We don't like to hide things, but we know it's wrong. But I don't want people finding this out about me. One of the greatest gifts that God gives us in the gospel is the ability not to fear our weaknesses or even our failings anymore. The ability to freely admit, I am a sinner. But in the full and comforting knowledge that our sins are forgiven. That I am weak. But God can use my weaknesses to display his strength. Which is exactly what God showed forth in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said last week as well, see it worthy of repeating. In the cross, we see total weakness. We see a man being mocked before the world, totally helpless. And beyond that, bearing the weight of the sin of the whole world. Before men seen as useless and despised. But even before his heavenly Father, forsaken, he suffers and dies on that cross. And yet, that is the glory of God, that moment in time. When the world thinks it has won, that's when the world is defeated. Not by great displays of strength from a human point of view, but in the willingness to sacrifice, the willingness to be despised and humiliated, so that others may receive the crown of life. Where does pride get in the way of your life? Where might you be willing to cut corners? To do something that you really know you shouldn't do? Because you just don't want to look bad. You want to look good. It probably differs for each and every one of us. But its roots are the same. That's when we need to remember what God assures us of in the gospel. We have nothing to fear in our sins being exposed. We have nothing to fear in our weaknesses being found out. Because in him we have complete forgiveness of sins. And in him, even when we are weak, that's when he's strongest. Herod didn't know that. And at times in our lives, we forget it. God grant that each and every day of our lives we remind ourselves of what our true pride and joy is. And it's not in our strengths. And it's not in our ability to conquer sin by ourselves. It's in the strength that our Lord God has given us. And in the forgiving love with which he covers us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.